Hi everyone, this is Olivia, and I want to welcome you to a new episode of Soaking in the Sunlight. I'm a 27-year-old in love with Jesus Christ, and I want everyone to come to know the Lord as well. And today, I want to talk about Gideon. Now, you might be wondering, okay, who is Gideon? Who is he? Or you might say, well, I'm very familiar with this story. Well, I'm going to give you a little recap, and then we'll dive in. So, Gideon is a great warrior in the Bible. You can find his story in the book of Judges. And so, in the book of Judges, we find that we have the Midianites, a group of people who are more or less oppressing the Israelite people. And so God raises up Gideon in order to conquer the Midianites and to bring freedom to the Israelites for 40 years. And so that sounds amazing. That sounds great. And, you know, the thing about Gideon is that I always grew up having this sense of him being, wow, like he's such a great warrior. He did this, he did that. And I'm actually going to share a few things from his story that the Lord brought out to me that gave me a better understanding of Gideon and to also help us in our regular lives in terms of how we approach different things and how we live for the Lord. All right, so I just want to dive in right into Judges. So we have Judges 6, verse 25 through 27. Okay, so if you can follow with me in the Bible, that would be great. Okay, so we have Judges chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, and it reads, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove without which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night." Amen. Okay, so that's Judges 6, verse 25 through 27. And usually when we hear about the story of Gideon, we get straight to the nitty-gritty part. At least when I would think about the story of Gideon, I would think about, okay, we're going straight to the nitty-gritty part about how he went after the Midianites and the miracle that God did to help him defeat this army. But before we get into that, I want to kind of point this out. The Lord wanted Gideon to tear down the altar of an idol that his father's household had. And the people of Israel, as we know, they weren't really faithful to God. So you had Gideon's family, for example, who was worshiping Baal. And so that wasn't good. And God wanted Gideon to tear that down. And I believe that's the first sign here of God showing that he's waging war against the enemy, that there will be no idols and that there will be no other gods beside him. And that, too, he wants Gideon to do this act of tearing it down, because actually, in reality, Gideon means one who cuts down. So Gideon cut down this altar so that it made a statement. It made a statement saying, hey, God is the one in charge here. Okay, so as we go further in the story, when we go to Judges 7, verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand." Okay, so the Lord delivered the Midianite army into Gideon's hand. And so basically with that, the Midianites were no match for God's power, because it was definitely God's power at work here, because Gideon had a huge army, but the Lord wanted to reduce that army to only 300 people, while the Midianite army was way larger than that. They couldn't be numbered. And so, you know, according to our math, you would say, wow, you know, you can't win a battle with 300 men when the other opposition, they have a lot. But the Lord knows what he's doing, and he wanted to show that it was him that won the victory. Even God says it. He says, And the Lord said unto Gideon, this is Judges 7, verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And so the Lord wanted to make sure that he got the glory out of this battle, out of this particular situation. And that's the same thing for us. This is a tidbit here. The Lord wants to get the glory out of every trial, out of every situation that we go through. He wants to make sure that at the end of the day, and even throughout the trial, that he gets the praise, the honor, and the glory, because it's all due to him. It's not because we were so smart that we thought our way out of the situation. It wasn't because we were so strong that we could punch our way out of the situation. And I don't recommend that. Don't punch people. But it was because it was through his power, through his Holy Spirit, him guiding us, him leading us in all truth. You know, so that is why at the end of the day, and like I said, even at the beginning and through your trial, we give God the praise. We give him thanks. Okay, so, you know, Gideon even worshiped God before he went back to his army, the army of Israel. And he said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. You know, so the Lord was talking with Gideon and giving him direction. And I just want to point something out here, though. I never really paid attention to it. I heard of it before, but it never really caught my eye as it did now. Once Gideon and his army defeat the Midianite army, after that, we see something quite strange. Gideon ends up doing something weird. We see him at the beginning of his story cutting down the altar of an idol. Again, to show that God is the one in charge here. But then we see him do something that's quite odd. When we go to Judges chapter 8, verse 27, it says, and Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon into his house. And so we see that Gideon makes this priest garment out of gold, and people end up worshiping it. It becomes a god. It becomes an idol. So the man that tore down the altar of an idol, he ends up putting up an idol towards the end of his historical account in the Bible. Now, the Bible doesn't have any record of Gideon verbally repenting of what he did, of him putting down the ephod or anything like that. But the Bible says that it became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. And so that was something that was not good for him, you know. And the sad thing is, a few verses later, after he builds this ephod, in verse 33, Judges 8, verse 33, it says, and it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam and made Baalberith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither shewed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had shewed unto Israel. Just to be clear, Jerubbaal is another name for Gideon. And so with that, you know, I just believe that the ephod was just kind of foreshadowing what the people were going to do anyway after Gideon died. You know, they wanted to worship something else other than God. And Gideon more or less helped them with that desire to worship idols. And I find it crazy that his name means to cut down, when towards the end of his story, or at least, you know, towards the end of his the historical account, he ends up building up an idol. He ends up doing the opposite of what his name means. And if we aren't careful, we can end up doing the opposite of our namesake. You know, if you are a born-again Christian, if you know the Lord in a saving way, you know, we are Christians and we're meant to build up the kingdom of God. you know, the Lord has changed our name. We are now redeemed. We are no longer defined by sin. We are now defined by the Lord, by his amazing grace, by what he's done for us. And now we are the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, reading from the Amplified Version, it said, "He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness." And so Jesus loved us enough to give us the opportunity to be placed in a right relationship with God by dying on the cross for our sins and rising again so that we can have that relationship with the Lord, if we so choose. And so basically with this, once we become Christians, we want to represent Christ. We want to do his will. We want to be in line with what he has for us to do in this life. And so if we aren't careful, we may end up compromising and saying no to the Lord because we want to do our own thing, because we feel like certain things are harmless and we feel like we can indulge in them, you know, or because we want to please people and we feel like, okay, it's not that bad, although the Bible may speak against it, or my pastor spoken about it, has spoken against this certain thing, but because it doesn't seem that bad, I'll do it. No, we can't support or build up the enemy's kingdom as Christians. Okay, so this kind of reminds me of something else. Then this brought my mind to another judge named Samson. Now, I won't get into his full story, but basically Samson, through the power of God, he would get this supernatural strength. In one instant in his story, he kills a lion with his bare hands. In another instant, he kills 1,000 Philistine men who at the time were enemies of Israel. And so, but Samson had a weakness. He had a weakness for the ladies. And so basically with that, through his weakness, he ended up sharing with someone named Delilah how he would get so powerful. He shared how his strength came from the fact that he did not cut his hair. That was a commandment from God concerning him, that he should not cut his hair because he was a Nazarite. And so with that, the Philistines were able to cut his hair. And with that, he lost his power. And with that, too, they ended up blinding him. And towards the end of his life, we see that the Philistines more or less mock him. They kind of use him as a form of entertainment. They wanted Samson to entertain them. And for this celebration, they wanted to celebrate their god, their little lowercase g god, thinking that their god delivered Samson into their hands. But little did they know that Samson's hair, it was growing back. And so in this story towards the end, it says, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." And so you had about 3,000 men and women, Philistines, at this particular house. And Samson wanted to be, feel the pillars, the supports for this house. And so this is from Judges 16, verse 26. And then when we jump down to Judges 16, verse 28, it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." And that's found in Judges 16, verse 30. Okay. And we see that, okay, Samson made mistakes. He ended up, you know, basically losing his power because he ended up giving his heart, sharing his heart, sharing his secrets with a Philistine woman, Delilah, you know, the enemy. And, you know, he made that mistake. He ended up losing his strength. He ended up losing his hair. He ended up more or less getting degraded by the Philistines. They made a mockery of him, you know. And who knows, maybe in those moments he felt like God completely forgot about him. But the thing is, towards the end of his story, he remembered God. He remembered the Lord. And even the Bible mentions that his hair grew back, that it was growing back. And so he remembered God at the end of his life. And, you know, I believe that it's not so much in how you start, it's how you finish. Here we see two men. We have Gideon and Samson. We have Gideon, who, you know, he's the warrior. You know, he was able to defeat the Midianite army with just 300 men, and that was all through the power of God. But after the battle between the Israelites and the Midianites, he ends up building up an idol. And then we have Samson, who was able to do some things, you know, able to beat some of the Philistines. But then he loses his strength because he gave it to the enemy, more or less. But then at the end of his life, he remembers the Lord, and the Lord remembers him, and he strengthens him to the point where he was able to kill all these Philistines, the enemy, where the Bible says, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So today I just want to share, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, you might be doing all these great things for the Lord. You might be really seeking after him and doing everything you can for him. But if we aren't careful, we may turn our backs on God and turn our allegiance to something else besides God, like Gideon did. You know, we might do our own thing, want what we want, like Samson did, you know, but it's important to keep our focus on the Lord and not stray away. And even if you've been in a state right now where you have strayed away, you can come back to him. You can remember the Lord and ask him to remember you, like how Samson did, you know, and you might feel like, man, I wasted all that time being out in the world and sinning and backsliding. But hear this, Samson, it says, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So God can redeem that time. God can help you do what he's called you to do after he redeems you from a life of sin. If I want to throw this out there too, if you're even considering, you know, going off and doing your own thing, leaving God, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it because you're like, oh, you know, maybe if I leave, you know, then I can get to do my own thing and then I get to come back and then the Lord can redeem that time. No, don't try to scam God like that. God knows our hearts. And, you know, who's to say that you'll get to come back? Who's to say that you'll have a mind to come back, that you'll have the desire to come back? And if you don't go back to the Lord, you'll end up dying in your sins and going to hell. And that, as we know, is not good at all. That's the worst thing that can happen to anyone ever. So I just want to share that with you today. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, and we had Gideon, great man of God, fought the Midianite army with 300 men through the power of God. But then he builds up an idol. And then we have Samson, who messed up, you know, told the enemy the secret to his power, then lost it. But then Samson remembered God, and then God remembered him, restored his strength, and he was able to accomplish more than he did compared to the other part of his lifetime. And so this message is for me, it's for all of us, to just stay consistent in the Lord. We can't tear down the altar of Baal, tear down, you know, the different idols of this world, you know, do different great things for God, and then build up the idol again. No, We have to stay consistent in our walk with the Lord. You know, we have to continue to fast and pray and seek the Lord's face, read His word, study His word, you know? There are areas that I can improve in. And I'm sure even as you're listening to this, there's certain things that you're like, man, I want to improve in. Because we got to make heaven our home. We got to stay consistent with God. We got to get close as possible to Him. And so I share that all with you to say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And you might be in a state right now where you're like, I don't know the Lord, or I turn my back on the Lord, I've backslidden. But you can come to the Lord right now and receive Him as your Savior and Lord right now with just a simple prayer, a prayer that you mean from your heart, a prayer of repentance where you say, Lord, I turn away from my sins. I want You. I don't want what I want. I want what You have for my life. I want to be saved. I want to be holy like You. So with that, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to come to know the Lord in a saving way, repeat this prayer out loud after me and mean it with all your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I am a sinner and I am in need of Your salvation. I'm sorry for the sins that I have done and I repent of them and I turn away from them. I come to You, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and that 3 days later, God raised You from the dead. And I believe that You're coming back again for me one day. I pray that You fill me with Your precious Holy Ghost. I will live for You one day at a time for the rest of my life. Thank You for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So if you prayed that prayer, I'm super excited for you. I just thank God for you. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank You, Lord. I'm excited for you because now you have started a relationship with God. The sin that was separating you from Him, whatever you might have done, it's no longer there. God has put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Now you have a fresh new slate with Him. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's in Romans 8 verse 1, and that's the King James Version. And so whenever the enemy or whenever you try to bring up things that you did in your past, you know, rebuke the enemy. Let him know, hey, I'm saved now. The past no longer defines me. And even with, you know, this whole thing, the Lord forgave you. Now it's time to also forgive yourself of everything that you've done. And that can be challenging, but the Lord's grace is sufficient and He will help you forgive yourself as well. Okay? All right. Last few things I want to share with y'all. Now that you've started your relationship with the Lord, I just want to share a few key things with you. One is praying. You know, now that you've started this relationship with God, you should pray to Him. You need to pray to Him in order to get to know Him better and to have that communication with the Lord. And as long as the prayer is sincere, no matter how it comes out, the Lord will hear that. Okay? Awesome. So then the second thing I want to talk about is reading your Bible. Personally, I read the King James Version in the description in the show notes. I will also have a link to a Bible. And I also highly recommend that you get a Bible in print because technology can fail, but when you have the print, you know, you can turn a flashlight on and you can, you know, read it. So I just wanted to share that with you as well, because God's word, that's God speaking to us, you know, and that's where we get strength. That's where we learn about what he wants us to do and everything. So it's very important to read the word of God so that we can get to know the Lord better and what He desires for us to do in this life in order to please Him. Okay. The third thing is going to church, going to a physical church. I know COVID-19, it kind of shifted the culture where now you have some people that'll say, oh, I'll just watch church online. No, that's a terrible idea. Please go to a physical church because it's a way different experience watching church versus actually being there and fellowshipping and getting to meet the people there and also hearing the word of God right there, okay? So in the show notes, I have different links for different churches. for you to look at so you can get an idea of what to look for in a church and also to be encouraged in the meantime. In terms of what to look for in a church that speaks about holiness, talks about salvation, talks about sin, talks about hell, things like that, that has like all these different components to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord, and where they really want you to grow in the Lord and not just stay in the same place in your life spiritually. And then last but not least, we have fasting. So you might hear about people fasting for dietary reasons, but then Christians fast for spiritual reasons to say, I'm going to not eat for a meal or two or three, and I'm going to focus on this day to get closer to the Lord. And God will honor that, you know. And so with that being said, during that time of fasting, you would pray, read your Bible, really seek God and seek to hear from Him during that fast. Okay, so I just wanted to share those things with you. And once you're able to go to a physical church, you'll also be able to receive more guidance on how to cultivate your relationship with God through your pastor and through the spiritual guidance that's given there. All right, so I pray that y'all have an amazing day. Thank you for spending some time with me on the Soaking in the Sunlight podcast. It's really awesome to share the gospel with y'all, to share some things, to encourage y'all out there. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, know that the Lord loves you and He cares about the very tiny details of your life. And before we head out, I just want to pray with y'all. So Lord God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that I get to spend with everybody who's listening out here in this big wide world. I just pray that you speak to their hearts, encourage them, empower them, use them for your glory. God, I pray that whatever they're going through, Lord, I pray that you meet them right there and let them know that your grace is sufficient for them and that you are there to strengthen them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are there fighting for them, God. In the name of Jesus, that you will defend them, God, as they continue to delight themselves in you, as they continue to bless your name and lift you up and live for you, God. I thank you, Lord God, for all the souls, for all the people that got saved today, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done and what you're going to do in their lives. And God, no matter where we are, no matter if we've been saved for many years or if we just got saved, let us all grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that you're there. I know that you're with us. And I know that you'll continue to help us grow in you, grow in character, just grow and become more like you every single day. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice, Jesus, on the cross for our sins and for rising again. And we believe in you for your soon return. We honor you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So I pray y'all have a great day and stay tuned next week for another episode of Soaking in the Sunlight. You can follow me on social media. Those links will be in the description and show notes as well. And don't forget to pop onto the blog if you haven't gone on there yet at soakinginthesunlight.com to get even more encouragement beyond the podcast. Be sure to subscribe and to also sign up for the mailing list for the blog. You can find that on the website as well. Awesome. So I pray that y'all have a blessed day. Remember to be encouraged and to stay encouraged and to always soak in the sunlight because Jesus is the only light. Love y'all. God bless. Bye.